there. We're going to talk about today us versus them, us and them. I really felt when about 9 years ago, maybe a little more, when President Barack Obama was voted in as president, that the diversity in our country was going to be a great turning point. And I don't know about you, but it seems like when we watch TV, we're much more similar to some 1960s atmosphere and environment than where we should be in our society. And over the last several years, we see a lot of things on television or social media about the problems of this diversity. And for a couple years, Pastor Jeff and I have been talking about some of these things. And so in 2016, we had what we called a Fusion Festival, a get-together to talk about some of these issues, race reconciliation. And we're doing it again in 2018. So let me read a text out of Acts chapter 15, beginning at verse 7 here. And when there had been much disputing, so they were arguing over, really, the difference between the Jews and Gentiles. Should the Jews let the Gentiles in? Should this new grouping of people be allowed to come in the church and be like they are, or do they need to conform to be like the Jews? And so they were arguing over this. There was much disputing. Peter rose up and said unto them, and this is, I'll talk about this next week. So if you want to read from Acts chapter 10 through about chapter 17 this week, and we'll pick up on that subject. So Peter rose up and he said unto them, "Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the heart, bare them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us." The us here is the Jews. "And put no difference between," notice this, "us and them, purifying their hearts." So Peter, as a Jew, talked about the us, who they were, and he recognized that there was an us versus them mentality in the church. And I think as we look at society, so we look at probably churches, and I have to be honest, even within my own heart at times, there's this us versus them mentality. So I want to talk about that this morning, and let's pray, and we'll ask God's guidance on this message here. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you would open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of your law today. We ask that your Holy Spirit would guide us into all truth. And may we have listening ears and receptive hearts to hear your word. And Lord, whatever the prejudices are in our own life, I pray that you would break those walls down. Lord, in my life, in my family's life, in our church's life, our community, in this country's life, God, we pray that you would bring revival to our land. Help us to take the good news of the gospel, your love for the world, around this world, so people can have the forgiveness of sins. So one day, we can all stand before you and sing out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty." In Jesus' name, amen. Several weeks ago, I asked you to pray about a luncheon that Pastor Jeff and I were encouraging pastors to come to. Now, if you want to know something about pastors, they say that leading pastors and working with pastors is like herding cats. And there's a lot of truth to that. Pastors are very independent by nature. That's why they're kind of in the role that they're in. And they don't change very easily. We don't work together very often and stuff. And so I asked you to be praying about that. And at that luncheon, there were 18 pastors and ministry leaders. And I want you to know that's incredible from many different evangelical backgrounds. And it was fantastic. But Pastor Jeff told me something else, that there were a large number of pastors that work two jobs and couldn't be at that luncheon because they were at their other job. And so on April 21st, We're planning a second breakfast for the pastors that could not come, and guys are excited about this. I think we're going to have another good turnout, so we're inviting pastors from the greater Fredericksburg area, and I hope you'll be praying about that as well, because here's what Fusion really is about. Maybe this term is new to you. You weren't here the last couple years, the last couple months. We've been talking about this with our leaders, or maybe you've been around and it's still new to you. The idea of Fusion is this: celebrating God's love, forgiveness, and unity. Celebrating God's love, forgiveness, and unity, especially as it relates to racial reconciliation. We're talking about celebrating the uniqueness of God's greatest creation, which is mankind. When God created the world, he said it was good, it was good, it was good. But when he created man, he said this: it was very good. I mean, this is his unique creation. Mankind is amazing. And so here's my question for you. How do you view mankind? Or let me bring it a little more personal. How do you view people? Some people say, I love mankind, it's just people that I can't stand. Or I saw a bumper sticker one day that said, the more people I meet, the more I like my dog. You know, that's kind of the idea. I remember years ago, I preached a message. I was associate pastor at a church in Northern Virginia, and I preached a message about people or problems. And my pastor came up at the end, and he said, no, people have problems, but they're not problems. And for years, I thought he hadn't convinced me, because I think people can be problems sometimes, you know? But how do you really view people? Do you view people as trying to care about them because they have problems, or do you try to avoid people because people are problems? God loves people. He proved that through the cross, right? God loves diversity of people. Just look at creation around us. I mean, God is a diverse God. Look at all the different flowers, all the different animals, all the different seasons. Virginia's great, isn't it? You can have a 70 degree one day and snowing the next. You know, what an incredible place to live. Why would you go anywhere else? You know, you get it all in such a short period of time. But the animals, the plants, the seasons, the locations, there's so many beautiful places all around this world. And God has made mankind unique as well. Godly uniquely made us. From the moment of conception, he designed our DNA and made us all very special. And I don't believe it's a good idea to ignore those differences. I think we should appreciate those differences. We should appreciate the difference, such as gender. Ladies, do guys ever get on your nerves because they think differently than you? All right? It's not the case for us. It's not at all. But, we view things differently. The reality is, you're going to leave this message today, and there's going to be a feminine way of listening and a masculine way of listening. You're going to leave this message, and you're going to say, wow, did you hear that? That wasn't his message at all. He talked about, and it just seems so different. But gender, our nationalities are different. We come from different places. Our personalities are different, right? There's so many different personalities. Our strengths are different, and all of these are God-given. He placed those things within us. But too often, even us as Christians, we reject that which is different. We fear that which is unknown, and too often we criticize that which is not the same. We see it as unusual. And God wants us to value the uniqueness of people. But if we're not careful, it's easy for us to be demeaning. See, how do you view people? Genesis 1:27 says this: so God created man in his own image. The reality is, every person in this room is an image bearer of God. When you view people, do you view God in the image of God, or do you view what you dislike or what you don't understand? See, how do we view people? Even though we're using the term racial reconciliation, the reality is there aren't many races. We're just simply the human race. And I'm 52 now, and it's still difficult for me to get that in my own mind, that we all are image bearers, that we bear the image of God. There's a Sunday school song that we sang years ago, and it's red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. And Pastor Jeff said, you can't say that anymore. So we just, that's the last time you're going to hear it, I guess. You can't call people that. You can't call them yellow. You can't call them red. That's, you know, that is not being politically correct. So we can't sing that Sunday school song anymore, I guess, according to what Pastor Jeff tells me. But anyway, you know, God loves everybody. But I want you to know, when I was in Sunday school, and we had flannel graphs. Do you remember flannel graphs, a piece of flannel? I'm sure they had them in school too, but especially in Sunday school. And the Sunday school teacher would cut out these little figurines and would place them on the flannel and tell a story. And every time I saw Jesus, he was a very white Jesus. I mean, he was totally white. And that was the guy that I worshiped. And when we talked about the fall of man, Adam and Eve would come in, and guess what? They were white too. I mean, they were really white people. And here's the reality. Jesus was Jewish. But we want to put him in our image instead of in his own image at times. Adam, the word Adam means red or ruddy, like the color of the earth. I really seriously doubt if Adam was a white guy. But he was on the flannel graphs growing up. I mean, that's what he looked like, and that's what I thought for years, you know. And so many people see Christianity as a white man's religion. And I know there's probably some people, your hands are a little bit sweaty and thinking, oh man, we're talking about colors of people and, you know, all these things. Why would we talk about that when church were to talk about God? But the reality is, all of us are image bearers of God. And let me say this, whether you are a Christian or whether you're not, you bear the image of God. Amen. Now, the whole point of Christianity is to help restore that image that was fallen from Adam's fall because of that sin, so we would become more like Jesus Christ. That is our entire goal, so people end up in heaven. But the reality is, even though that image has been marred, and that's why there's prejudices in this world, that's why there's sin in this world, that's why there's selfishness in this world, we still bear the image of God, but we look at people in their flaws so often instead of viewing them through God's image. Let us make man in our image. So he created Adam and Eve to display that image. He created all of mankind to demonstrate that image. Later in the book of Acts, chapter 17, Paul was talking to a group of Gentiles who didn't really understand that God was the creator. And this is what he says about creation. Talking about God, and he says, "And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation." Here's what he said. God determined where you were going to be born. Some people are going to be born in South America. They're going to be born in Africa. They're going to be born in Europe. They're going to be born in North America. God determines where you're going to be born and the time. He determines when you're going to be born as well. These are within God, and we all have these unique aspects of life, but every one of us has the same blood. Mandisa sings the song, "We All Bleed the Same." You see, we all have the same blood. When I was a young boy, I went into the hospital for surgery. And I remember going in, and I don't know this clearly, but this is what I remember from a little boy. So I'm sitting there. When my blood was taken, it came out red. And there was an African-American boy that was having some work done to him. And I don't know what it was. Maybe I just had a misperception. Or maybe it wasn't blood. Maybe it was bone marrow or something like that. But when his blood came out, as a little boy, I saw it as white. And I thought, oh, white people have red blood. Black people have white blood. I just thought that as a little boy. And the reality is, God says we're all of one blood. When the Europeans went west and an Indian chief was taken into custody, and he said to this white man, "Our skin looks different, but if you hit me, it hurts, and if you cut me, we have the same blood. And that's what Paul's saying. We are the same. Pastor Jeff did a great job a number of months ago sharing with us that within that beautiful uniqueness, we're still exactly the same as it comes to this scientific idea. But you see, our text in Acts 15:9 says this, "And hath put no difference between us and them." Peter said, there's no difference between a Jew and a Gentile. There's no racial difference. But if we're not careful, we can have this us versus them mentality. You see, we form groups and classes. As a little boy, we had a game that we would play if we didn't want somebody else to join in. Tick tock, the game is locked, and nobody else was allowed to come in. See, we want to have our grouping, people that are similar to us. What I was taught and experienced, if two kids play together, they play well. You get three kids together, often two of those kids will kind of join up against the third, right? Doesn't that happen a lot of times, you see? We just like to be in a group, and we have our own prejudices. And I tell you, as I put this message together, I can just think of my own flaws. Now, I grew up with Polack jokes. They're pretty funny, really. Now we say blonde jokes, right? Hey, that can be pretty funny, right? If you have a sarcastic nature, which I gave up a couple years ago and got rid of that. But I still don't understand you guys laughing on that. But anyway, I can kind of relate to Archie Bunker. Remember All in the Family, right? Remember how politically incorrect he was in the 70s? And just sometimes I can just, my humor or whatever can just be offensive. Wednesday, I was greeting some of the teens as they were coming in, and a beautiful young lady had an English accent. And she walked in and she told me her name with this beautiful accent. And I was like, oh, would you like a spot of tea? And I'm like, Christy is just like, would you leave? You know, really, this isn't helping anything, you know? And just, and what was, it really is just characterizing differences when the reality we're the same if we're not careful. And something that us white people will often say is, listen, I've never owned a slave. I wasn't around when there was segregation. Why don't they just get over it? You know, the us and them, why don't they get over it? Why are we to blame? And maybe you've thought like that. I know I have in the past. But it's really interesting if we study this idea of the sins of the fathers. In Daniel 9, Daniel was in a foreign country. He was in Babylon. He was in Babylon, not because of anything he did, because he was a young teenager when he ended up in Babylon. But his descent, or not his heritage, his family line, because of their idolatry and their disobedience to God, ended up in captivity. Now, Daniel's an old man, and he prays this prayer, and it really is a generational prayer. It's a prayer of the sins of the father. He's done nothing wrong in reality because he was so young at this point. But here's part of his prayer in Daniel chapter 9, verse 5. We have sinned. Do you know what he did? He accepted the issues from his family. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from the precepts and from thy judgments. He was praying to God and he said, God, I will accept what my family did wrong and we want to make it right. You see, throughout church history, throughout Baptist history, there's been a lot of white churches. It said people from different races can't come in. They didn't view the world from a human race. They said this is for the white people. When they did allow the slaves to come in, they would build, you know, a different section for them to be in because they didn't really want to be that close to them. Even, they wanted them to get saved one day and end up in heaven. They just didn't want to be around them right now. And Daniel prayed that God would change the current circumstances and atmosphere. And I think that's exactly what we need to do as Christians. We need to be busy praying that God would change things. There's a church down the street. One of the pastors asked me, he said, Tim, do you pray for revival in our country? And up to that point, I hadn't. So a couple years ago, I put on my prayer list. After I've prayed for our local leaders, pray for our national leaders, the last thing I pray for is revival in our country. And I hope you'll join me in prayer, praying that God would revive us. And part of that is in the way that we treat individuals. If we want God's blessings, we have to be in God's obedience. And maybe you're like me, you have some own prejudices of your own. Maybe it's the way you view the opposite gender. Maybe there's certain nationalities that you don't like. You know, I'm conservative doctrinally. I'm conservative politically. But as I look at the conservative movement and some of the issues that we focus on, there can just be outwardly demonstrating a lot of hatred. And I don't think that's necessarily what we intend to do, but if we're not careful, we can have that us versus them mentality. Now, naturally, we like to be around people that are similar to us, right? I mean, I know opposites attract, but opposites also get on your nerves at times, right? I can prove that. You got married, right? And you married somebody that's opposite than you, and man, you joined together, you liked their differences, and then there came a point where you don't necessarily like all those differences anymore. They're just different than you, and we can let it bother. So we want to be around people with similar personalities, similar interests, similar goals. Then we start talking to those people. We start agreeing with those people. And what we develop out of that is culture. This idea of culture. And we view things a certain way, and we talk to people that view things the same way. And so since I view it that way and other people view it that way, we must be right. And people that don't quite see it the same way, then they must be wrong. And so we begin separating ourselves into different cultures. And when people from those other cultures come in, we judge them before we really know them, which is the definition of prejudice, prejudging people. We view somebody from a different nationality a certain way. You know, fat people are always very happy and jolly, right? Well, that's a prejudice, right? That's not a true statement. Where does that come from? Well, girls that are blonde, they're not that smart, or whatever we want to put on it. These are prejudices. There are perceptions, and they cause us to seem to be elite and superior. Instead of viewing people as image bearers of God, we start viewing ourselves as better than them. And I think I said this last week, that everything is level at the foot of the cross. I mean, we're all the same. Chuck Swindoll said this, prejudice is a learned trait. You're not born prejudiced, you're taught it. You get a bunch of little kids together, they play together, they don't care, you know, if it's boys or girls when they're young enough, they don't care what color you are, they don't care about, they just get together and play. But then in our cultures, we start creating distrust, and we start viewing things a certain way, whether it be the color of the skin, education level, clothing, tattoos, wealth, hair, gender, beauty, age, social class, religion, heritage, language, culture, politics, nationality, the car they drive, the house they live in, their preferences, all their ethnicities. John Piper defines racism as this: racism is an explicit or implicit feeling or belief, or a practice that values one race over other races, or devalues one race beneath others. And this really isn't a white people thing, though I'm white, and I think I can speak to white people a little bit. But if you talk to an Asian and you call them Chinese, Japanese, Korean, or Filipino, or whatever the case might be, and you get it wrong, often they would be offended, right? That's not who I am. When it comes to Latinos, if you are from Spain or South America and you're called a Central American, that's not who I am. And maybe it's because the skin color's a little darker or something else, I don't know. But the reality is all of us can be prejudiced. As men, we can have a superiority complex, right? Feeling we're better than women. You know, I do think it's true, and I don't know if I can totally prove it, that men are less emotional than women. It's probably true. But if we're not careful, we view women as emotionalistic, and then we just don't trust what they have to say. You know, how many times in my own life, don't let Paula hear this, you know, and she hasn't really said it, just more of a look like, well, I told you so, you know, you big dummy. She didn't say that, but it was just like, why didn't I listen, right? You know, what I was taught years ago, God speaks to the man, he speaks to the man, speaks to the man. He's so hard-headed and just doesn't listen, foolish at times. He starts talking to the wife, you know, and say, hey, yeah, this is a good idea, and he probably ought to listen a lot more often. Okay, I'll get off that subject, guys. All right, so you got quiet on me. That us versus them. Romans 13:8 says this: owe no man anything, and he really isn't talking about finances here, he's talking about love. Owe no man anything but to love one another. And that word one another there means loving people of the same kind. The reality is it's kind of easy to love people that think like you, act like you, become like you. But this verse goes on and it says, for he that loveth another, in the original language here, this is a different word. In the English, they're both just another. But in the Greek language, the first is another of the same kind. But then he has a play on words. He uses a different word. And he says here, for he that loves another of a different kind has fulfilled the law. See, it's easy to love people just like us. But if you're a Republican, can you love a Democrat? If you're a Northerner, can you love a Southerner? If you're well-educated, can you love somebody that's not as educated? You see, God says, here's what I want you. I want you to love people that are different than you because they're still in my image, even though they're unique. It's one thing to enjoy being around people that we like. Now, we do that. You know, we invite people over, have similar interests and stuff. But can you appreciate people that are different than you? That's a little more difficult. Here's what we tend to do. Romans 14:3 says this: let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Now, we're not going to get into the issue of what they were doing, but I want to key in on the word despise there. To despise means to look down on. My guess is there are people or people groups that you look down on. Hopefully not, but the reality is these are issues that I struggle with. And my guess is most of us struggle with some people group, you know, us versus them. And we despise, we look down on. The same word is used in verse 10 when it says this: but why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? Same word is despise, it's just translated differently here. Set at naught. Naught means nothing. to treat as nothing, to view them as an undesirable, unworthy, no value. And God said, how could you treat somebody like they have no value? But I tell you, when there's a marriage problem in here, I'll tell you what the issue is. See, only by pride comes contention. Yeah, I lost the word there. Why do we argue? Because we become elite and we begin to look down on others. That's pride. We view them with contempt. We are more important than them. We set them at naught. That was one of the issues that Jesus was condemning the nation of Israel about. God had set them up to be a light to the world, but instead they viewed themselves as elite. They did a good job in preserving their culture. If you're familiar with the movie Fiddler on the Roof, remember the song Tradition, where they had those traditions. And there's nothing wrong with culture until that culture becomes demeaning to another culture. The word culture just simply means the way of life for a group of people. It's how they identify. It's the language they have, the politics, the religion, the food, the clothing, the way they do life. And so we all grow up in certain cultures. And we think that is a good culture. You see, there's some things that you thought your family was very normal until you got to be a teenager, a little bit older, and you go to somebody else's house and they didn't quite do it the same way. And you're like, they're kind of weird. And then you realize, no, it's us that's weird after all, right? We found the enemy and it's us. You know, we're the weirdos here. We did this. If nobody else does that, why do we do things like that? Is it just me? Okay. Y'all got quiet on me again. I'm really uncomfortable in this message. You guys have gotten so quiet. I'm not sure why. But this Western culture, Eastern culture, Latin culture, African culture, Middle East culture, but culture is just culture. Hey, I got a question for you. Are Texans different than people from New York City? All right, just think about their difference. Are Californians different than people from New England? All right. Are people from the inner city different than people from middle America? So here's the question, who is right? Who's right? I am, exactly. Thank you. Was that Ben? That Ben said that? No, okay, all right. It was Pastor Jeff that said it, I realize. See, here's the kind of bumper sticker that I grew up with. American by birth, Southern by the grace of God. You see, that was my thinking. My family from the South. I thought the South. I listened to music from the South. I liked the flags from the South. My music was rock from the South. You know what I'm saying? And so that's the way I thought. And I grew up in a very diverse culture. Had no problem with that, but I tell you, that was my culture. And there's a lot of that that's not a good culture. And I tell you, I've tried to deal with these things, and I thought I've dealt with these things over the year, and often my wife would say that I'm clueless, really, on some of these things. She's just kind of off. I tell you what really began to change this. When Pastor Jeff came on staff at the church, we started having conversations, and not really about race, but I did one thing right. I just tried to listen. And in my listening, I've learned. And in my learning, I want to make changes. See, James 1:19 says this. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. And I can tell you, if you want to have a better marriage, we need to talk less and listen more. If you want to have a better society, we need to talk less and listen more. I tell people, I try to get a very diverse idea on my news. So I start off listening to Fox News, and then to get the other opinion, I listen to Fox Business News. You know, and so I get a real well-balanced, you know, in my news. And so, but I think from a conservative nature, which if you don't like Fox News, you think, oh, man, he thinks from an ignorant perspective. You know, that us versus them mentality. But I take my political views and then I try to live them out through a spiritual dynamic, and sometimes they just don't fit very well. And so am I going to focus on my political views, or am I going to focus on what God has to say? And we have to let God transition us. See, what is your culture? How is it that you treat other people? And if we're not careful, we will have an us versus them mentality. Whether it be with gender, whether it be with nationality, whether it be with language. Yeah, I tell you, I'm a white guy, southern guy, think that way. I've always thought, hey, these Spanish people come to our country, why don't they learn English? Yeah, this is America, man, America, and which is kind of a racial idea. America, well, there's North America, South America, Central America, but we in the United States, we're America, right? Nobody else is. So when I've gone on a mission trip and a missionary says, hey, if somebody asks you where you're from, don't say you're from America, because they are too. They might be from South America, Central America, or North America, but you're not the only Americans here, okay? You got to get that, white people. That's what they're telling me. I said, okay, I got it. And my daughter was in Mexico for 6 months, and I spent a week there, and now I'm the minority, and I don't know the language, and I'm talking to them in the right language, right? English. Or if you're from England, then American English is wrong too, right? So, and I'm trying to explain things, and I want them to understand me from my culture. And I'm kind of here from a minority perspective for 1 week. The money's different. The language is different. The culture's different. I mean, they're riding around on mopeds. The mom, the dad, the babies in hand and stuff. And I'm like, why would they do this? Because it's their culture. And I want them to understand me. And during that time, you know, I got to thinking, what about when I'm not in the minority and I'm home? How do I treat somebody that's trying to learn the language, they're trying to better themselves? There was a guy in our church. He just despised the illegal aliens coming to our country. And we went on a mission trip. And we crossed over from the United States, immediately gone in to Mexico. And God began working on his heart. I mean, he didn't change with his idea about illegal immigration, but this is what he changed. He was like, no wonder they want to come to the United States. I mean, we had fresh drinking water 1 minute, and we didn't the next. We had cars from 2012 or whatever, and we went to where we saw cars from 1960s. We saw this cultural shift, a culture shock to us. And we think, why wouldn't somebody want to come here? And if they come here, how are we going to treat them? We're not going to get into politics right now, but this is just what I want to ask you. Do you view yourself from an elite perspective where we look down on somebody else because they are image bearers just like you and I? So how do we fix this? I'm on a journey. I'm not coming from you today as an expert. The reality is many of you are far beyond where I am. I heard a preacher that I really liked talking about some racial issues the other day, and somebody responded to him, white evangelical Christianity is so far behind. And they said, we, the teachers of America from the 60s, started integrating. And now, 50 years later, the church is talking about it. Well, we can't change the last 50 years, but we can do something about today. Let's just bow our heads for just a moment. I don't know about you, but this us versus them mentality just needs to be destroyed from my own heart. Maybe yours as well. What an opportunity we have living in Northern Virginia, where the world has come to us. How will we respond to people? Our theme for the year, choice has left the building. We want to go. Take this message to the world. Take it to our country. Take it to our community. And my desire, and I believe yours as well, is that Christianity right here at home demonstrates the beautiful diversity that God has given to us. May we love people as Christ loved people. May we sacrifice for people the way Jesus sacrificed for people. May we lift people up as Jesus lifted people up. Maybe you want to pray for yourself, pray for your family. See, this isn't a race thing, it's a people thing. Because we're all image bearers. How are you treating your spouse? How are you treating your kids or your parents? How are you treating your parents or grandparents as they're aging? How do we view young people? Dear God, as we come before you today, we praise you for your ingenuity, for your amazing ability to show diversity in this world. God, we enjoyed it this past week. And whether it be the hot summer days, the beautiful blue skies, or the cold winter snows that we can enjoy, or the incredible colors of the fall when the leaves are falling, or as we are now, seeing your glory in your creation. Thank you for the colors. Thank you that we can enjoy. Thank you for the birds that come around, the flowers, the trees, the grasses. The incredible opportunity of seeing the death of a season and a new life of a season. I pray that there would be a new spring in my heart. That this church would see people as image bearers. That we would take a strong stand against sin because you are holy. But that we would care for people in spite of their sins. And may we be a transforming church. To see lives transformed. God, there are hurting families in here. I pray that you would transform families. And that this community around us would be transformed. I pray on April 21st that a group of pastors would come together. These pastors that are leading Bible-believing evangelical churches, that we could see you move at this fusion event. Change us, dear God. Help us not to have an us versus them mentality. But may we glorify you. And friend, just with our heads bowed for just a moment, we're going to sing a song in just a minute. But maybe you want to come and pray for yourself. You've dealt with some of these struggles yourself. You just want to come, or you want to pray for your family. Come pray for our nation. And we've got some things in our past that we shouldn't be proud of. Pray for the fusion event, however God's speaking to you. Or if you're here today and you're not certain that you're on your way to heaven, we would love to share with you from the Bible how you can have your sins forgiven and you're on your way to heaven. That's what this invitation's for. And friend, if you're a Christian here today, you've not followed in baptism or haven't joined the church or you're really not growing the way you know you are not transforming back to the image of Christ as He desires. You speak to Him. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.